This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. I'm Matthew Bruni, here with Shay Dixon to recap Arkansas and LSU on a quick podcast. Obviously, Arkansas defeats LSU 16-13 in overtime in what was a cold by my standards game, being from Texas. I'm sure it was cold. It was cold for you. I know that. And not the prettiest game, Jay. So what were some of your takeaways?
Well, I think that this game reminded me, I said this in the quick takeaways on the board after the game, but it was almost like you just went back in a time capsule to last week's game against Alabama, took out the team, took out the stadium they were playing in, replaced them with Arkansas, replaced it with Tiger Stadium. And it's the same result. The defense forced a 48-yard field goal in the opening drive of the game, Matty B, and then they go for forcing six straight punts in the half. Arkansas makes some adjustments. Kendall Briles is a great OC. They've obviously got some talented weapons there on offense, but nothing that ever, was too much for LSU to overcome. Well, it was offensively, but defensively, they didn't overwhelm them. KJ Jefferson was under 150 yards. No running back went for over 50 yards. KJ Jefferson didn't rush for more than 50 yards. So all in all, you bottled up the Arkansas defense. They scored 16 points between regulation and overtime. It all falls back that the offense has no rhythm. Offensive coordinator Jake Peets, it's becoming increasingly clear that this job was a bit too big for him as a first-time play caller. And whether you want to roll, and I'll let you weigh in on Nuss, but we got to see Max for two drives. They punted on both those drives. Then they went with Nuss for the rest of the game. There was a point where you and I were watching on the sidelines in the fourth quarter, 6, 7, 8 minutes left. LSU would have a couple of possessions after that where it looked like Max was stretching, had his helmet on, was going to go back in, and they just rolled with Nuss. Obviously, neither quarterback really did much for him to write home about. You get the one touchdown out of Nuss to Besh, but beyond that, it was field goals. It was a missed field goal, and you come away with 13 points. That's completely inexcusable. You should win every game where the other team only scores 16 points, especially if you've gone to overtime and three of those points have come from there. It just falls back on the offense. Kudos to Ty Davis Price. He went over 100 yards again, but they found nothing in terms of play calling rhythm or anything in the passing game with Kayshon Boutte out.
Yeah, it was kind of just the same story as last week, except this week they at least tried Garrett Nussmeier in. So we had that in the back of our heads, like, okay, maybe Garrett can provide the spark this offense needs, right? But in the end, we found out it's not really about the quarterback. Yes, would having Joe Burrow on this offense make it better? Of course. But between the way that, A, not having Kayshon Boutte, and B, just the play calling becoming completely predictable, whether that is, which you've talked about a lot with the extra tight end being Dumervil and having Jack Mashburn in, basically having seven offensive linemen and running the ball, like, Arkansas was ready for that. By the second quarter, they had adjusted to it. LSU ran the ball for 42 yards in the first quarter, ends the game with 108 yards. And in the second and third quarter, I believe they rushed for 10 yards total. Like, it was just very predictable. And then when they got into short yardage situations, it became the pass play. The go-to pass play was that triple slants type play. And Arkansas was all over it. They just started blitzing it and shading it on the inside. And they just broke it up time after time. And Garrett Nussmeier, I give him a lot of credit on that play to Jack Besh, because that is a play that Max Johnson would not have made. Max Johnson might have tucked it and ran it for like 3 yards, but at least you give your receivers a chance in that situation. But at the end of the day, he had two picks. Obviously, the one on the fade on the in the overtime cost them the game. But Ogeron said after the game, it was a called play. That was the design, just to throw it up on the fade ball, and it got picked. So for those wondering, I think we saw why Garrett Nussmeier, to me, is the more talented quarterback. I thought just his arm talent, his ability to throw on the run, his ability to make more impactful plays for this offense was big, but it's not about the quarterback at this point. It's about play calling. It's about just this systematic kind of issue that this offense has had for this entire season, with especially since Kayshon Boutte has gone down. And that's really just the most disheartening thing, is for, like you said, the defense to play its heart out, to play just an incredible game. Damone Clark, Michael Baskerville, defensive line, the secondary again depleted. It didn't matter. And that's what really sucked about it. That's how I led my recap. I mean, when that field goal was going through the uprights, there was nothing the defense could do. I mean, it's just, that's how it played out.
No, absolutely. And I think a turning point of the game, play call wise, and maybe for Nuss, was the Wildcat quarterback call. I mean, they had seemed to settle Nussmeier into the game. He just hit on a couple throws. You get into the red zone, and then you call a play where afterwards Orgeron said, I'm not sure we've even practiced that play more than a handful of times this year. I think he said once. And now you're having your running back take direct snaps in the red zone when your freshman quarterback just got settled in, trying to be cute when you don't need to. You can barely get off your plays normally. What's the point of trying to get too creative with it? I thought that was the game changer. And what they, at the time they were up 10-3, could have been 13-3, that could have been 17-3. And ultimately when you then see them come back and you lose 16-13, that's a major difference maker. That was a point in the game where you could have gotten points that ultimately no doubt would have led you to tying this game, being ahead in this game late, and in a totally different spot. So that sort of summed up the bad night of offensive play calling for me, is that crucial moment, which, look, it doesn't come down to one, you know, thing. That's what Orgeron says all the time. It doesn't come down to that last play where Nuss got picked. There were a lot of things that led to that. I thought that Wildcat quarterback call, where ultimately Ty Davis fumbles the ball, was one of the most crucial kind of turning points of the game. And now I wonder, moving forward, Matty B, we didn't hear O say anything about this after the game, but what are they going to do at quarterback? They've got two more games that they need to win them both to even be bowl eligible. They need to win them both to even save a 500 season. And you went, what? I mean, they probably went 12 drives with Nuss, 11, 12. They gave Max two. And the result, as you said, you had some, they approach it differently. You can argue, hey, would Nuss have done that, or would Max have done this? But to me, the net result remains the same. They're not getting production out of either of them. And I don't know if that's a play calling thing or a development thing with quarterbacks or what, but whatever it is, it doesn't seem like at the end of the day, you're getting all that much different from both of them.
Yeah. And the stark thing was that we saw LSU try that wildcat formation, and it obviously didn't work. But then Arkansas pulled out trick play after trick play after trick play. And it just showed the kind of difference in preparation on offense side of the ball, and the willingness to be different to a degree, right? Meanwhile, LSU was running out the same personnel packages time after time. Arkansas was faking field goals and doing it well and catching LSU completely off guard. And that just kind of showed the difference for me, because how does Arkansas with 281 yards for the game win the game? It's because they did the fake field goal, and albeit didn't score a touchdown, they had chances to score a touchdown. They just executed better when they had to, and they had the three turnovers. So we can talk about, and I'm sure we will with Billy as well on Monday, with the whole quarterback situation. For me, it has to be Garrett Nussmeier moving forward. I will say, if you are Max Johnson, you have to feel a little bit slighted, because you got two drives, right? You only got two, and Nussmeier takes the reins from there and gets the rest of the game. And he didn't even play that well, right? You give him a little bit longer of a leash there. And that's what, if you're Max Johnson, you got to be like, all right, I couldn't get a third or fourth drive. I couldn't start the second half, like, you know, get something in there. And I'm not saying he should have, because I think Garrett's better. And next week's not going to show us anything, right? UL Monroe, what is that going to show us, right? If Garrett comes out and throws for 300 yards and Max comes in and throws for 400 yards, like, that's not going to show us anything. So it's a prolonged thing till we get to the A&M game, and we're still going to be sitting here like, what are they going to do?
Well, and right. I mean, this is also one of the things where they got into that discussion of, are you going to burn the red shirt? Well, if he plays one more snap, the red shirt's burned. And I don't understand. I guess I could answer my own question here. Then again, expect the unexpected with how they're doing things on offense. Why, if you're not going to put Max back in that game at all, and as you noted, Nuss didn't even play that well, but you're going to let him play the whole game, why would you go back to Max versus ULM? Wouldn't that be the time to actually let Nuss get out there and really settle in, really run some plays that you think could kind of set him up for what would then be the A&M game? Because if you're going right back to Max against ULM and then you're letting Nussmeier play in the second half versus ULM or whatever it is, well, then you're right back to where you started. Ness was already doing that against the bad teams this year. I mean, Ole Miss, he got in the fourth quarter, but they were getting beaten up in that one. I would be a bit surprised if they don't. I mean, like, you almost have to think they're just going to start Ness this week. I wouldn't understand why you're letting him go the whole Arkansas game and then cut that off and put Max right back in for ULM. If you wanted to put Max back in, you should have put him back in at the end of that game.
Yeah. The thing for me, and I'm just looking at the box score right now, it's incredible. Arkansas goes 3 of 16 on third downs. And I do want to end this because we're going to keep this much longer because I think that we've covered the offense in a good amount. Also, shout out Ty Davis Price again for his outing. But defensively, Durante Jones needs to, and I think Ed Orgeron to a degree, but I think mostly Durante Jones because I think this is more of his style of defense. We got to give a round of applause for him, man. He has just completely shifted the way that this defense plays, the way this defense looks. I mean, to catch Arkansas off guard the amount of times they did, I believe that Michael Baskerville sack that he had where he came off the edge in the first half and just completely unblocked. I mean, there were plays like that all the time. They were just creating free rushers, and that's something they never happened besides the last two games. And I questioned if that Alabama game was a fluke or not and if that teams would adjust to that and how they would adjust to the adjustments, and they have just continued to disguise, blitz, and just change their coverages up really, really well. So shout out to Durante Jones. Great job there.
Yeah, and I think too, I mean, I'd talk after the game again to Damone Clark, and him and Micah Baskerville have been awesome, and they were both really good last night against Arkansas, and both them said credit to Blake Baker that he's taken them, really elevated that game in a first-year linebacker coach role. We've heard the D linemen who have really over the course of the year have been solid, even when they were just having to rush four, they were getting pressure at times, especially earlier in the year. They've credited, obviously, Andre Carter, and then Corey Raymond is working out two All-Americans at corner. He was playing two Nichols transfers for a lot of the Bama game into this week against Arkansas. You're down to Cam Lewis, a six-year guy at safety. Jay Ward's your only healthy DB that you started the season with. Flott's been in and out. You're having to play Darren Evans and Ray Darius Jones, all these guys. So defensively, I think personnel, the players, I think the coaches, all of them have sort of seemed to come into a bit of a harmony over the past couple of weeks. The bye week did them plenty of good. As embarrassing as it sounded, right, when O came out and said, we did self-scouting. We're so predictable on defense. It's time to change it up. Well, everybody changed it up, and they look pretty good, especially second and third stringers. The offense, granted, down a couple of offensive linemen this game, but over the course of the year, they've been relatively healthy. You wonder where the self-scouting is there. It's just been predictability stretches after predictable stretches. I mean, it's just been tough to watch one side of the ball really change and the other side of the ball just remain the same and stagnant.
Yep. Arkansas ran 80 plays, and on 10 of those, LSU had a tackle for loss. So, I mean, just an outstanding game. I don't have anything else here as far as the specifics go. Do you got anything else before we wrap it up?
No, we're good. It's Sunday morning. Matty B's about to reboot out there. Florida Gulf Coast, LSU.
Yes, sir. Kim Mulkey time. Let's do it. All right. Yeah, also, I mean, Cade York missed a field goal, but we don't even need to talk about that. I said it was weird.
Well, and
then
you can get into the debate that why didn't they kick it at the end of the game? Like, why didn't they give him a 50-yarder? I mean, he clearly, you saw it and called it right then. Cade York has 60 in his leg or more. He just mishit it. He hit it fat. And when he did, it went way short. I didn't understand. And I think they actually got they moved it. But I still would have wondered why you weren't just kicking that field goal at the end of the game, trying to give him that long ball. That's right. They kicked it, and then they ended up not getting it or whatever it was. False started on 4th and 1.
Yep.
Painful.
Yep. It was a painful loss for LSU as they dropped 4-6. Go ahead.
Second week in a row where they decided not to kick field goals with Cade York and just keep going for the win. I don't get it.
Arguably their best offensive weapon right now. I don't even know if it's arguable. It probably is. Besides Ty Davis Price, shout out to him. But yeah, painful loss for LSU. Drops to 4-6 on the year. They got UL Monroe and Texas A&M left both at home. So we will be there for that. Check out our podcast on Monday with Billy and Shay. And we'll have y'all with the football coverage, basketball coverage, recruiting coverage, all that good stuff. So check us out on our socials, go 247, follow us on Twitter, which you can see right here on our handles, and we'll talk to y'all later.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount+.